Ever since we've started Christ Church, I've been referring to this message, okay, of a sermon I speak called Believable Lies. And every time I've done it, I've updated it and revamped it, and I really felt, you know, it's about time. This is a signature, this is a foundational message that you've already heard some of the stuff in here, because it's so much of where we're at and what we're desiring to do, what God wants to do in our lives, and what He wants to do in the lives of people that are so messed up and so living in darkness all throughout this city, okay? So let's pray. Let's talk to God. And it is going on the website, of course, and people listen to those messages that may never even darken our door, and we want God to do His stuff. So God, we lift this time up to You right now, and Lord, we pray for what's going forward this morning, that it would just, Lord, transform people's lives. God, You know it's not about this growing church and swelling numbers. It's about the power of Your Word and the power of Your truth. Lord, coming in and bringing light where there was darkness, healing where there was sickness. Lord, reconciliation where there was stress and strife, Lord God. Peace where there was conflict. Lord, let Your Word do everything You intended to do this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the purest. And remember, this is opinion now, what I'm going to share with you, okay? This little bit. The rest, I hope, is the Word of God. This is the purest and most exciting and most Spirit-led group I have ever been a part of. I've told you that several times. And but you need to know, do you really think, and Jesus preached, Jesus believed in the devil, okay? Jesus is the first one that really exposed him for what he is. And you can't be a serious follower of Christ without acknowledging this truth, okay? He acknowledged that the devil was real. Most of us in this room, we take that on God's word. We haven't got them all figured out. We don't want to have them all figured out, because in Romans 16, it says, be innocent of what is evil, okay? Be wise about what is good, but be innocent of what is evil. It's not that important that we, you know everything about him. In fact, you can have an unhealthy obsession, an unhealthy interest in things like the occult that can really mess you up. And that's why those scriptures are there. This is not, people who think they're messing with the occult, they're not messing with the occult. The devil's messing with them. It's very real. It's real stuff, okay? So here we are, you know, this wonderful group of people that, at least from my perspective and a number of your perspectives, wow, this is awesome. God is like, do you think the devil's going to sit back and just say, oh, look at those nice people, you know, from Christ Church. They're just doing, no. Okay. Now, the most, the biggest selling gospel tract of the 20th century was something called the Four Spiritual Laws. Have you ever heard of the Four Spiritual Laws? It was put out by Campus Crusade for Christ. There's over a billion copies of that in universities everywhere. And one of the Four Spiritual Laws, and I've got a message that I'll do sometime, it's called the Four Spiritual Flaws. But one of those laws is that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's a law of God. I give you all the scripture to support that. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That is true. Here is another truth. The devil hates you and has a horrible plan for your life, okay? He wants to destroy everything close to you, okay? And he has no power over us, huh? Okay, I'm going to get to that in a sec. I want you to hear Jesus' description of him, okay? You can't see really how diabolical he looks, but at least you can see his eyes there, okay? This is Jesus talking, and he's talking to the Pharisees, okay? He saved his most barbed comments for the Pharisees. That was the religious leaders, the respectable religious leaders, okay? Think about that, okay? You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. Now he starts talking about the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Other translations from the original Greek say, whenever he speaks, he speaks his native language. Whenever he lies, he speaks his native language, okay? He's a good liar. Really good. Well, the best of the best. He's the father of lies, okay? The father of lies. He was the one that conceived, you know, the first lie back in the Garden of Eden. And he usually mixes a little truth with his lies, okay? Like he said to Eve, you're going to be like God. That was true, okay? She was going to be like God. They didn't know the difference between good and evil back then. But yeah, now they know. So yeah, there was a little bit of truth. And he comes to us and all his lies, all of them are believable. Everyone, try that out. You know, yeah, the Bible says no, but he'll forgive you. He will. You know, yeah, it's true. He will. You know, you'll be scarred for the rest of your life and probably do damage that you'll have to live with forever. But yes, God will forgive you. Okay? Here's a thought for you. Do you know that it's possible Hugh Hefner might actually be in heaven? It's true. It's true. Because God forgives. There isn't a sin that he can't forgive. There isn't. I don't know what was going on. And look at, you know, by your fruits you'll know them. And the chances are it didn't happen because of the type of guy he was. But somehow, because a lot of people got through to him. A lot of people presented the gospel to him in his lifetime. I don't know. You know, you can't live your life and I'll repent when, my time comes. There's too many people that go like that. They don't have time. And he might have had gone quicker than that. Okay? God forgives. But boy, you know, you don't want to live like that. Just because God forgives doesn't mean that you can't make a royal mess of your life and everybody else close to you. And if God does anything, he wants to, not only he's got a home in heaven for us, he told us, Jesus said, it's the thief that comes to kill and maim and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Now, the devil's a good liar. He's the best. All his lies are believable. All of them make sense. He has to be good because that's all he's got. Okay? I told you before, he has no authority over us. Look at what Jesus and the word says about the devil. You are from God, little children, talking to us, okay? And have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. The simplest faith, the person who follows Christ and is mixed up and fails but keeps following Christ, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. James 2:19, you believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. They're scared to death, okay? They know the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Look what it says about Christ here. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. You know, the wages of sin is death. So there's, you know, debt against us, a spiritual debt, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, that's demonic authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Okay? He embarrassed Satan. He conquered Satan through the cross. That is the theological perspective. That is the reality, the spiritual reality that we have our foundation on. Hebrews 2:8. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. That's Christ. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Okay? The devil's still got his lies. He's still able to mess up people's heads. He has no authority. Utterly defeated on Calvary. Utter defeat. But God didn't take away his ability to lie. He's still the best liar there is. The best liar there ever was. I want to repeat that scripture in John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. All his lies are believable. Every one of them. Now, I know there's a lot of people that would love to apply that cartoon to your, you know, the politicians you don't like, but it's more true about the devil than anybody, okay? He's described as the prince of the powers of the air. You've heard me describe that in Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the powers of the air. The devil is the prince of the powers of the air. Great, what good is air? You hear through air, you see through air, you perceive through air. If he's the prince and power of what we see and perceive from, that means he is the warper of perceptions. He brings things to us that, and they don't sound like they should sound. They don't appear like they should. Why? Because that's what it is. That's his domain. He is the total deceiver. Okay? He's powerless against the shield of faith that's described in Ephesians 6:16. You know, that's the scripture that says we carry the shield of faith so that we can extinguish the fiery darts of the devil. What are those fiery darts? Well, if all he's got is lies, they're lies. They're lies. Every one of them makes sense. Every one of them is believable. Every one of them. Every one of them. You know, they come at us and we go, yeah, boy, yeah, that, boy, I got to think about that. Okay? They're believable. And we put up this shield of faith. What's the shield of faith? We know what the Word of God says. The devil went after Jesus when he tempted him, and he lied to him, and he used Scripture. But Jesus knew the Word, and he would come back at him with Scripture to disarm what the devil, because he'll even use Scripture against you. How do we know? Well, you've got to know the whole Bible and not just the parts that you like, okay? How do we lower that shield of faith? By believing his lies. And you don't know what his lies are unless you know the Word. It doesn't mean we go out and get a PhD, but I want to help you. I want to help you with what the Word says about his lies. First of all, we're going to go through six of them. He got all kinds of them. In fact, he's got lies custom made just for you. Remember? He's got a plan, okay? He hates you and wants to destroy you, and he knows the most believable, exquisite lie that will get you. Oh boy, he knows your faults. He knows your weaknesses, and that's where he's going to focus your attack, okay, his attack on you, okay? Number one, God doesn't love you. That's believable. I don't know about you, but I know me. Oh, man, why would he love John Counsel? You got to be kidding me, okay? That makes sense. He knows my hidden motives. He knows, you know, my secrets, okay? And when he comes to me, how could God love you? Yeah, that's believable, but it's still a lie. It's still a lie. Because John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that anybody who believes in him is not going to perish, okay? John 17 says he's not willing that any should perish, but everybody should come to repentance. Everyone. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, long before I decided to show up at Christ Church, long before I ever decided, you know, to give or to commit to charity, or long before I ever decided that, you know, I'm going to make a difference in the world. When you were at your worst and most selfish and arrogant, and you were living, Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before you ever decided to get together, you at your worst, he loved you enough in your worst state to be tortured to death. Okay? Now, you may not be receiving the benefits of that love, okay? That's possible because sin can short-circuit a lot of the promises of God. It really can. But that doesn't change his love for you, okay? Well, if he loves us so much, how come he tells us how to live? Did you ever play the game of life? Okay, remember that? That's kind of like a Monopoly wannabe game, okay? But I like the game of life because, first of all, I like this spinner thing. That was cool. But my favorite part of the game of life is you would go through this thing and you had a car and you'd get kids. You don't get kids in Monopoly. You know, you could have up to four kids. I filled my car up, okay? Nick had to get two cars for the game of life. He's got eight kids, okay? And it's really cool, okay? Now, it's game of life. Listen, the game of life came with rules. You have to play by the rules. Otherwise, it's a mess, you know? Baseball has rules, okay? Baseball, some people think it's really boring. Football has rules. Like if you're playing baseball and I hit the ball and, let's say I strike out and it's three strikes and I'm out. Well, I don't want three strikes. I want five strikes. And you go along, okay, you're a pain. And I hit a line shot and it's bad. And I go as I'm going to the base because the team doesn't like me, let's say before I get to first base, the guy punches me right in the mouth and knocks me out cold, okay? That's against the rules. Well, I don't like that. So next time I'm up a bat, I'm carrying a knife with me, okay? So I hit the ball. I knife the guy, okay? And I'm walking. I'm running towards second laughing. Hi, I got you. He's got a gun waiting for me, okay? I see the gun. I run away from the field. When I run away from the field, the bench empties, and they come up with weapons. Before you know it, you got a mech. Can you imagine what life would be like without rules? That's just a ball game I'm describing, okay? That's why the author of life, the one that knows life better than anybody, says, look it, here's the basic instructions before leaving Earth, okay? B-I-B-L-E, okay? Yeah, there's some things in there, and you go, ah, come on, you know? I said this a couple weeks ago, the only thing he asks you to give up are things that are going to kill you and things that are going to make you people think you're a jerk. They don't want to be around you. This is a guarantee to preserve neighborhoods, families, marriages, businesses, everything. Okay? And he even enables us, he even gives us the strength to be what he wants us to be. Why? Because he loves us. Even though it's believable that, you know, that the devil says, you know, he does it. Lie number two, okay? He won't forgive you. Oh, that's believable. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I screwed up too many times. Okay? Way too many times. Well, you come back with this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even those dirty, if you knew what I was like when you weren't looking, you know, you wouldn't probably listen to me. Okay? If I knew what you were like when nobody was around, I wouldn't want to talk to you. Okay? Jesus says he's faithful to cleanse us from all that. Okay? As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Okay? That's his attitude towards our sin, no matter how believable the lie is that the devil throws at you. Now here's another one, and the younger you are, it seems the more you get sucked in by this, and yet people my age, we get sucked into it too. You're missing something out there. Out there, outside of the body of Christ. Out there, out of, you think you're getting away from the care of Christ. Or you think, you know, no, I'm okay, you know. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because, oh, there's a lot of good stuff out there, isn't there? And it comes packaged so beautifully, you know. And it's always for the short term. Beer commercials and booze commercials drive me crazy, you know. Yeah, all the parties and everything and the weekend and everything. I've never seen a beer commercial that shows a guy lying in a gutter puking up all over the place who's lost his home and lost his job. And, you know, it's Miller time, you know. Why don't they show that? Because this is a believable lie. You're missing something out there, okay? When you take your eye off the prize, you start noticing other prizes. We don't keep our eyes on Jesus because we want to be fuddy-duddy, boring church people. Oh, God, save us from that, okay? We keep our eyes on Christ because he said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. The best there is, okay? There's no good thing that will be ever withheld to those whose walk is upright, Psalm 84 says, okay? But that's a believable lie, and he knows we're weak. I mean, he'll even bless the wicked people of this world to keep this lie alive. Oh, very, very few of them. The wages of sin is death, okay? Pursuit of pleasure destroys everybody, except the exceptions to keep the lie going, okay? A lot of you guys know about Gene Simmons and Hugh Hefner and Mick Jagger and Howard Stern and all these people who talk about this, you know, party hardy and pursue this hedonistic lifestyle. And the sub-lie, this sub-lie within this lie is giving into self will bring more fulfillment than giving into God. That's believable. That is believable. But look again what the Word says. In fact, I don't have these written down on the screen. You need to write these down and look them up. These things need to be foundational. You know, take a picture of the screen. That's so smart. Oh, see, I would never think to do that. It is smart, okay? Proverbs 14:12. I'll give it to you while you're looking them up and writing down the these are things you need to have in your Bible and you need to look at, okay? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, woman, whatever, but it leads to destruction. Okay? That's what Proverbs 14:12 says. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. In other words, have a relationship with him where you're in love with him. Don't just show up at church. That's so boring, you know? You need to get to know Christ, okay? Delight yourself in the Lord. You can't delight in anybody you don't know. All of us love at first sight. No, it wasn't. It was lust. You know, come on, take a cold shower, okay? Love is something, it's intelligent, where you realize, whoa, I can't live without this person, okay? That's what it means. Delight yourself. Get to know him so much so that you know how wonderful he is. You find out firsthand. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, it says. Okay? And then I quoted the one earlier, Psalm 84:11. There's not a good thing he's going to withhold to people that are walking with him. If he's withholding it, it's because it is not good for you. It will, you know, it looks good now, but it will destroy you. This is going to be difficult for some of you, okay? He's smarter than you are. Okay? God is smarter than you are. And here's something else. The devil is smarter than you are, too. Okay? He knows where you're weak. You probably won't get rich, like a lot of the rich TV preachers are saying. But look what Jesus says in Luke 16:11. I love this. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Wow. There's a richness in following Christ that, you know, the world is knocking themselves out trying to attain. And he offers it free to those that follow him. Okay? There's a sublie. He'll forgive you anyway. You've got that one. Okay? He'll forgive you anyway. Yeah, he will. But you'll pick up unnecessary pain and scars that God never intended you to pick up. That's why Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin. In other words, it's you can bank on it. Is death. Physical death, spiritual death, family death, marital death, financial death, any kind of death you imagine. That's what the devil traffics in. The fourth one. This is for the, you know, the more mature types. Make your own decisions. Consulting God is evidence that you're weak. Oh, isn't that believable? In fact, you've had people give you the attitude at work like that and at school. That's a big one. Makes sense, doesn't it? Look what the word says. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Okay? We just can't figure out this crime problem. All these kids doing drugs. What are we going to do, you know? We just can't figure out that our kids don't know what kind of gender they are. We just have to explain that for them, you know? We just don't, you know, we don't know what, you know, the economy is just tanking. We don't know, you know? Like, they don't know what makes them stumble. You know why? Because they turned their back on God and his wisdom long ago. And this is not a political thing. This is black and white. This is not left or right, okay? This is not left wing or right wing. The bird is dead, okay? This is far beyond that. The wisdom of the world, if you look up 1 Corinthians 1, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of the world, okay? But it's a believable lie, making your own decisions. That, oh yeah, well, I'm glad it works for you. Oh yeah, they like that one, don't they? Psalm 75:5, do not lift up your horn. That is a biblical term for your strength. Your horn was your, like, your confidence. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. For not from the east, not from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. But God is the judge. He puts down one, exalts another. I don't know why he does that, because it drives me nuts, but he still does, okay? He does. Here's one for you. And we did a whole series of sermons on this about a year and a half ago, okay? Nebuchadnezzar, super wicked, full of the occult. He comes in and he just mutilates and dominates and destroys Israel. And Jeremiah and Isaiah were both saying, that guy's a servant of God. Way more wicked than Kathleen Wynne, Justin Trudeau, and anybody else you don't like put together. Way more wicked. And he's described in Daniel as God's servant pronouncing judgment. I'm not sanctioning anything those people do. That's the word of God, okay? Right there. That is the word of God. He puts down one and exalts another. It's like when Jesus said to John, to Peter, hey, what if I decide that John's going to live until I return again? What's that to you? You follow me. You know? You follow me. There's a lot of things that God does I scratch my head. But he's told John counsel how to live. Okay? You follow me. You be Jesus in your neighborhood. Because I put a lot into you, counsel, and I expect a return. He talks to me like that. I don't know if he talks to you like that. Okay? Got to get this slide out there. Behind every self-made man. Self-made man. Cool, eh? He's making himself there. Behind every self-made man is a God that allowed it to happen. Have you got that? Behind every self-made man or woman is a God that allowed it to happen. At least four times in the Old Testament. At least four times. And many other times in the New Testament. Okay, it says, fear God. Fear God and it will go well with you. And some people don't, you know, they don't know the understanding. They say, well, yeah, I don't want to serve a God that I'm afraid of. Well, I want to use a chainsaw that I'm afraid of, or something could go wrong. Okay? I have a very healthy fear of that chainsaw. Does wonderful work. Every guy loves a chainsaw. You're not a real man until you own a chainsaw, okay? Even if it's a little electric one like mine, okay? Because they can kill you. Some of you know my friend Jim Candelon, who's been on TV and everything, okay? In fact, he was the guy that did the main eulogy at David Maines' funeral last week, okay? Jim Candelon's son-in-law, Paul Cassidy, who was the pastor of the Bethel with one of the churches I was at, Jim Candelon's son-in-law was using an angle grinder on a roof in Zimbabwe building a missionary house, and he lost control of the angle grinder, and it spun out of control and hit the worst place it could hit, cut the guy, killed him, okay? Why, okay? I don't mean to criticize the guy, but chances are there wasn't enough healthy fear of that thing. When we're talking healthy fear, that'll save your life, okay? We got a healthy fear of driving the car any way we want, you know? We know we stay in the lanes. We check around. Why? Because we got a good, healthy fear. That's the fear it's talking about. The God, the one who puts one and puts one down, okay, says, fear him. Realize that he's in control. We don't cringe in fear. We know him. We love him. He's wonderful. He sent our Savior to forgive our sins. We're in relationship with him. But he is God. Don't mess with him. Don't mess with him, okay? His word doesn't change, okay? Now, it's not, and it's not, and this is an encouragement to all of us, okay? It's not, you heard this, we used to get this when we used to apply for jobs when we were in the summertime, you know, saving money for school, you know? It's not what you know, it's who you know. You ever heard that one? Of course, sure you have, okay? It's not what you, that is, that doesn't sound very biblical. You might even think that that's a believable lie. It's not, it's the truth. It just has to come with sign language, okay? Watch me, this isn't going to be on the tape. You won't be able to get this from the podcast, okay? It's not what you know, it's who you know! It's who you know! And not only is he in control, and not only does he know all the connections, he's behind the scenes pulling all the strings too. And you got an in with him. You got an in with him. The devil hates that. He hates that. He hates you because of that. He had dominion over this planet according to the book of Genesis. It was taken away and given to man. He hates you. Hasn't lost his power to lie. To believe life can be that simple is immature. That's believable, isn't it? Why? Because you've met a lot of airhead Christians, haven't you? Okay? Oh, Jesus, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, you know. I have too. And the word says, you know, unless you change and become like a little child, there's some Christians that take that too far. They go past childlikeness into childishness, okay? So that's a believable lie. And you've encountered that. It really is, you know, when it says, unless you change and become like a little child, it's really acknowledging that God is smarter than you, okay? And you realize he's in control. And we put our faith and our trust in him. And the devil says, that's empty idealism. That makes sense. That's believable. But it's a lie. It's a lie. What does Matthew 5 say? It says, the humble, okay? The meek. They're going to inherit the earth. They're going to get it all. The meek. The meek. Meek is not weak. In fact, meek is anything but weak, okay? It is powerful. It is, meek is, when the Bible describes Moses as the meekest man on earth, that was a guy God chose to lead 2.5 million people, okay? Meekness is powerful, especially when it's fueled by the Holy Spirit. The last lie, all this toil isn't worth it. Probably the most believable of all of them, you know? But, makes sense, it's believable, and a lot of people bought into it. And a lot of people have given up. Look what Romans 8 and 18 says. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Okay? That's God's word. Matthew 19, 29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. In other scriptures, this reference, it says, not only in this life, but not only in the life to come, but in this life as well. That's a promise of God. Okay? That's a promise of God. I guess we could say we bank on that. The devil is the best liar there is. So which one have you been paralyzed by? Because that's what lies do. They paralyze you. They paralyze you where you just to inaction. And you think you're waiting, but, you know, sometimes laziness is just disguised as fear. It's fear disguised as laziness. You know, we do nothing because we're afraid. We're paralyzed by one of these lies here. Okay? Hebrews, look at what Hebrews says here. Well, we've heard the term, and here's another, you know, seeing is believing. It's not. Faith is more powerful than circumstance. Okay? I tell the story of two girls. I won't give their names because these sermons go everywhere. And there's two girls in my youth group in St. Catharines. And both their parents, very heavily involved in the church, very successful church, growing church, and, you know, very alive. And the youth group was amazing. And both these girls, their parents, there was adultery went on, okay, in their parents' lives. And both marriages broke up. And I watched both of them. I'll call them Joyce and Elizabeth, okay? Joyce was drop dead gorgeous, okay? Joyce had all the guys in the youth group chasing her. She had it all, okay? Personality and everything. And Elizabeth, overweight, lots of acne, but life of the party, you know? Elizabeth, she just never worried about, you know, her appearance, just she was full of the Lord. Joyce was a little bit on the fence, okay? And I watched over the 6 months to a year as their marriages fell apart, and we tried to keep them together, and we tried to reconcile, did everything we could. And Joyce said, that's it. If that's Christianity, I don't need it. And I don't even know if Joyce is even serving the Lord today. We lost track of her. The last I heard, she was dark and bitter, and I don't know what happened. Elizabeth. I remember Elizabeth coming into over our house, staying overnight because she just couldn't, you know, handle, you know, bawling and crying hours and hours and hours, and us pouring the love of God into her. She didn't let go of Christ. Do you know what Elizabeth's doing right now? Elizabeth is the head of a home for wayward mothers out in BC. She runs the whole joint. There's like 60 unwed mothers there. She's got credentials with the old, you know, church I was with. Her life is just one of constant joy and fulfillment. She FaceTimes with us. She's always laughing. Always laughing. I don't think she ever married, okay? He didn't care. She's so full of the love of the Lord, you know, that she, her life just overflows with the joy of Jesus. What am I saying there, okay? I'm saying that you can have the exact same circumstances going on in somebody's life, and the people that hold on to the Lord, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. We start believing, okay? And we start seeing things. Look what it says in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. John 20:29. Then Jesus told him, because I love this one. I haven't plumbed the depths of this yet. I have not experienced the power of this scripture. But every time I read it, I go, whoa, there's something there. It's powerful too. Then Jesus, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I've never had a vision of Christ. I've never, you know, had him appear at my bed, at the end of my bed going, John, this is your plan for your life, you know. I've had some pretty radical things that I knew was God's leading, but I haven't seen it to that measure. And he says, I'm blessed for it, okay? I'm blessed for that. I haven't seen, but I believe. And because I think that believing is seeing. Seeing is, in fact, believing will equip you the next time. And I gave you six of them, and you're all like, okay, we're ready. That's great, man. Let's go beat up the devil. Listen, he's got four or five exquisitely planned for you, four or five exquisite lies that are perfectly customized to destroy you. And they'll be coming. They'll be coming, okay? They're going to come at you, okay? He's not through with us, but we're on to him. We're on to him. Okay, God, help me here. God, where do I need to, you know? And it's not bad that, you know, that's why we have church. We interact with one another. We bounce things off. That's why when we're looking for facilities, when we're deciding, you know, where our priorities would be, we're always in the multitude of counselors. There's wisdom, okay? And there's security and power there. We're not perfect, but I know I'm more perfect with you. Okay? And I think you're more perfect with all of us together here. Yes, we're going to mess up. But if I mess up, I need people around me. And you need people around you. That's what the church is all about. Okay? Now, often I do a pastoral blessing at the end of a message. Okay? And I pulled out that one, and I really like it. It's powerful. It's very scriptural. But I was reading a word today, this week, and I thought, I'm going to read that as a blessing, okay? So first of all, I want to pray. And when I'm done praying, you know, I want you to receive the blessing of the Lord through a psalm that I'm going to read to you. And I think we could receive it as a blessing. But let's pray first, okay? Keep your eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. Okay? Why do I ask nobody look around? Because I don't like people to be embarrassed, you know? Father, this is not some spooky word from the Lord. It's just God in a group this big, Lord. The averages would tell us that probably everyone in this room has been a victim of a believable lie. So right now, Lord God, we agree together right now, God, that you are going to give us a greater spirit of discernment, a greater spirit of wisdom, that we're going to be on to that stuff so that we're less vulnerable. So that, Lord, not only ourselves, but Lord, we can protect each other from our enemy that wants to destroy us, Lord. You have promised you're going to build your church and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it, Lord. You have said in your word, Lord, unless you build the church, God, the builders labor in vain. And we're standing on that. And part of that is knowing that it's not just a walk in the park. We have an enemy that wants to, that is merciless and doesn't care, hates us, and will do anything, Lord God, to lie his way, Lord, into our lives so that we're distracted. God, by your word and by your authority, Lord God, we acknowledge that, Lord, you stripped him totally of his power and all he has is lies now. So, God, we receive your anointing that those lies would be exposed. Keep your eyes closed while I read this blessing in Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, that find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Praise the Lord, eh? Praise the Lord. Well, don't just stand there. Bless somebody. Encourage somebody, you know. Make them feel like they don't want to leave this place because they sense God here.